This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. To all of our viewers out there, may the peace and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And welcome back to Distilled Wisdom. We are still speaking about distilled wisdom. And today, inshallah, we're going to take a different shift. It must be understood, my brothers and sisters, that Islam, as expressed in the Quran, has high regard for rationality and intellect. And interestingly speaking, the Quran speaks of believers as men and women who are endowed with intellectual abilities. We all have some sort of appreciation for people's intellectual abilities. It seems that we limit intellectual ability in people who do well in school, who are good in math, who are good in physics and chemistry, and these applied scientists. That is part of it. You know, the way we interact with the creation of God around us. So the Quran also speaks about ulil albab, people who are endowed with intellect, in 16 different places in the Quran. Sometimes, sadly, there is a tendency in the religious community that somehow being faithful or being a believer means that it's almost like I have to believe it, but it really does not have sense. It does not have to make sense to me. And what we do is that we make this dichotomy or almost this split between that which is supposed to be taken as faith and that which is supposed to make sense, as if there is no relationship between them. And that is absolutely not acceptable. But rather what happens is, as the Quran is teaching us, that blind faith is neither accepted nor expected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endowed us with this faculty of intellect so that we are able to know Him better, so that we are able to look into and to ponder in His creation, and also to look and ponder into His revelation as well. So the Quran chooses to describe the believers as ulil albab. In 16 different places in the Quran, Allah speaks about ulil albab. And the way that the Quran speaks about ulil albab is a really interesting way. For example, and we will not go through all of them, but we will pick maybe two of episodes, inshallah. For example, it says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. That are not equal. They are not equal. The khabith is anything that is unlawful, anything that is impure, anything that is evil, is given this general term of khabith. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say that they are not equal. The good and the pure and the nice are not equal to the things that are impure, unlawful. And وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even if it be that you are mesmerized or you admire the quantity of khabith. This means more than one thing. Is that khabith in itself comes in big quantities, or those who adhere to it are in big quantities. And somehow we are impressed with big number of people. We are impressed with big number of people simply because, oh, so many people saw this movie. Oh, I must see it. Or so many people have bought this CD. I must buy one. Or so many people have visited that place, I must go to it. Or so many people took this ride, or so many people went. So what happens is that somehow we are encouraged by the abundance of quantity. Sometimes the abundance of quantity is good, if it's in something that is good. But sometimes that is not the case. And Allah doesn't speak about this. He said there may be the case where the abundance is really for that which is khabith, that which is evil, that which is not right, that which is impure. It is in abundance. So Allah said, know that they are not equal. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So all people of intellect, be mind of Allah. Because many times, you know, quantity should not be the only measurement in knowing whether something is good or bad. And that is why it's beautifully said, right is right, even if no one is doing it. And wrong is wrong, even if everybody is doing it. It's not a big deal to be right when everybody else is right. It's a big deal to be right when everybody else is wrong. Right is right, even if no one is doing it. How many people are committed to the right? Does not matter, it's irrelevant. Yes, it helps. You know, the journey does not become lonely. But in principle, the fact that there is not a big number of people committed to the right, it does not diminish the right. It remains to be right. It's right that is neglected, but it still remains to be right. And wrong is wrong, even everybody else is doing it. Wrong does not gain legitimacy because so many people are doing it. Wrong does not become noble because so many people are committed to it. It remains to be wrong where many people are committed to it. That is really the most that can be said about it. So, what happens? It's not a big deal to be right when everybody else is right. It's easy, you see. But reality is, can you still be right when everybody else is wrong? That's where the challenge is. And that requires ulil albab. It requires intellect. So remember this, in principle, the Quran does not teach a dichotomy between rationality and belief, but rather there should be harmony. And that's why we say in Islam is the intersection of faith and reason. And this particular point, you know, there is a nice story about this, about, you know, the idea of numbers here. They said that one scholar visited a locality and he was about to give a lecture there. And when he got to the place where he's supposed to give the lecture, it turned out that the people who came for the event was a very small number of people. So the organizers of the event were a bit disappointed. And they were telling themselves, oh, look at this. We have done so much work and we've done so much advertising. Only just a handful of people are showing up here. That's very disappointing. And they say that was a wise man. And the wise man knew what was going through their head. So he said to them, people, do not be disappointed by your numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst our faithful. We are looking for faith amongst our numbers. Why is this? Because numbers are just numbers. So that's not really what's important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not be fooled by the abundance of that which is wrong. Especially nowadays, there is a lot of wrong that is admired by many people. It does not make it right. There is so much wrong that is very popular. It does not make it right. So what happens is that it takes somebody who actually reflects to look into this and say, well, I recognize that there is so much of it, but it is just so much wrong. Because there is abundance and there is great quantity of it, that does not make it right. And Allah said, those whose intellect are able to make that distinction. Because see, sometimes, especially when it is salt, when we're bombarded with it day and night, we forget to see it in matters of right and wrong. We just look into abundance and we just follow that abundance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, not ulil albab, not the possessors of intellect. They are able to make that distinction. Also part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ulil albab. Because remember this, you know, religiosity or faith is not about stagnation and pondering about the unseen and trying to figure. So that is not part of it. We do believe in the unseen. Alhamdulillah, that's part of it. However though, remember, religiosity does not mean intellectual stagnation or intellectual vacation. Sometimes we feel that, you know, the more religious I am, the little use I have for my intellect. Not acceptable. What does that mean? To the contrary, Allah invites people, tadabbur, to reflect, tafakkur, to ponder, to think. These are all invitations. throughout the Quran. The more religious you become, the more deep you become, the more thoughtful you ought to be. Why is this? Because now this vast creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at your disposal. And the more you know of the creation of Allah, the more you know of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran said, those who are endowed with intellect, they do not waste their energy in what? In trying to figure out answers for things that the mind is not equipped to do. If the Quran tells us about something from the unseen, then what happens? We believe it. Because intellectually, initially, we have accepted the Quran. So as a result, what we say is that part of being religious, especially if you adhere to this religion of Islam, the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens is that the more religious you become, the more usage you are going to find for your intellect. Hold on to that thought, inshallah, and we will be back, and please stay tuned.
Where truth is hidden, misleading quotations create confusion. Where truth is hidden, lack of knowledge and wisdom cause upheaval and commotion. Where truth is hidden, manipulated scriptures and twisted facts emerge. This very hidden truth creates false propaganda, mayhem, chaos, disorder, and turmoil in our lives and the world order. But is there anyone with courage and wisdom? What is the truth, and who has the courage to expose it? Because it's your right to know the truth.
Watch Truth Prevail and Lies Perish in Truth Exposed by Dr. Zakir Naik every Friday to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 10 p.m. UAE on Peace TV. The ambassadors of peace from different parts of the world who dedicated their lives to convey the message of peace came together at the grand 10-day peace conference in Mumbai with one vision, with one mission. Hundreds of thousands of people witnessed them, heard them. Now it's an opportunity for those who missed the live action.
I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Watch them again in Peace Mission, next on Peace TV.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and the mercy of Allah be upon all of you. And thank you for joining here back again with us in Distilled Wisdom. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the relationship between intellect and religiosity. So what we will do, inshallah, now is we are going to take one verse of the Quran that gives about 9 different qualities of the people who are endowed with intellect. This verse happens to come from Surah Ar-Ra'd, and it says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. And say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do those who know the truth from your Lord, are they equal to those who are blind? And blind here is, you know, metaphorically speaking, it's not necessarily that they are blind where they cannot see, but it is their inability of not wanting to see the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them blind. And then Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only men and women who are endowed with intellect will remember, and they will reflect upon this. And then the Quran goes on to take us on a journey about 9 of the characteristics of the people who are endowed with this intellect. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. They are those who fulfill their covenant with Allah, and they do not break it down, or they do not break down the contracts. What is that covenant with Allah? The covenant with Allah we have taken is that we have agreed and we made a pledge that no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And they constantly remember this. يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. That could be part of it. That they're constantly reminded and they remind others of their obligation in their relationship towards their Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. They are those who connect that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to remain bind or to remain connected. There are different relationships that we have to go through in this life. There is our relationship with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is our relationship with our own selves. And then there is our relationship with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some have more rights before others. Some have higher priorities than others. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is this idea of silatul rahim, to always remain connected to your kinship and to your kithship or to your relatives. What happens is that people are related to us, sometimes either by birth, sometimes by blood, sometimes by marital obligation. And the closer they are to us, the more obligations they have and we have towards them. Such as, you know, it begins with our parents, maybe our children, our spouses, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our relatives, and what have you. So these people, they fulfill their relationship to their Creator, and at the same time, or part of this, is also their acknowledgement of their obligations towards others whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to remain connected to. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. They are those whom they bind together that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that remains together. Especially with our relatives. Sometimes people say, you know, I have relatives that I am very good to them, yet they are very rude to me. I always try to keep in touch with them. They cut me off. They sever my relationship. You know, what do I do at that point? How am I supposed to fulfill this obligation of mine? The same question was actually posed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a man came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inna li aqarib, O Messenger of Allah, I have relatives. أحسن إليهم. I am good to them. I deal with them with righteousness. ولكن يسيئون إلي. But they wrong me all the time. أصلهم. I try to keep in touch with them. I try to connect with them. ويقطعونني. But they cut me off. They sever that relationship with me. What happens? As if the man is saying, Oh Prophet of Allah, I have fulfilled all my obligations towards these people. Am I done? Am I free of all obligations? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited the man, as he always does, to take the higher road. What is that higher road? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلَ مَنْ يَصِلُ مَنْ قَطْعَهُ. He said, the person who keeps this connection does not do so out of reciprocating. You know, they called me, I called them. They visited me, I visited them. They inquired about me, I inquired about them. You're just reciprocating these types of good relations. And if you remember a while back, what did we say? We said that being good to those who are good to you does not make you good. Being good to those who are rude to you may make you good. Being kind to those who are kind to you does not make you kind. But rather being kind to those who are not very compassionate towards you, that makes you compassionate, that makes you kind. Why is this? Because generally speaking, we are good to those who are good to us. But what's the big deal in this? There is really no challenge in it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, remember, because somebody is being good to you and it's easier to connect with them, that really, you're not really being tested, you're not being challenged. But the real test, the Prophet ﷺ said, is how do you react towards those who choose to cut you off? Do you still maintain? Are you still able to maintain a relationship with them? So the Prophet ﷺ invited that man, and we are all invited to this, and that is to take the higher, to take the higher road. وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم. And they are also in awe of their Lord. See, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon, like we said, ibadah is what? Ibadah is utmost love or love at its perfection with this unconditional obedience. Because unconditional obedience is only befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody else, our obedience to them is conditional. Respect to some people, like our parents, for example, is unconditional. But obedience is to anybody else is conditional. So what happens? Here this verse tells us about another type of relationship. It says, وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. They are in awe of their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? We said that we love Allah. And remember, so that any act of worship that is devoid of emotions becomes very empty. It becomes very mechanical. So what is the big deal about me prostrating and bowing down and washing? And so what? If there is no emotion in it, if the heart is not involved in it, then it becomes very empty, mechanical, it becomes physical, it becomes void. It will eventually turn into a burden. So part of it is that we must love our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ spoke so much about this. That, you know, the idea of the Prophet ﷺ would say that, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَهُمَ. That none of you is truly a believer. You have not attained, you know, the status of a perfect believer. Unless and until what happens, that Allah and His Messenger become most loved by you and you prefer them over anybody and anything else. But see, there is a requirement for love. Love must be preceded by knowledge. We cannot say that we love Allah if we do not know Him. We cannot say that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we do not know Him. Love becomes much easier the more you know, the easier it is to love. Because you have enough information to love. Be it to love our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So constantly, Allah will tell us about Himself. Allah will invite us to know Him. So that, you know what? And sometimes Allah states the obvious. It is Allah who created the heavens, Allah who created the earth, Allah who has made and facilitate this for you. But why is Allah stating the obvious? Because our relationship with Allah is jeopardized once we forget who Allah is to us. The minute we forget this, our relationship with Allah becomes very shaky. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists for us the kind of things that He has done. So you look into it and say, Allah is being very kind to me. Allah is being very patient with me. Allah has not seized me immediately for all the erroneous and poor decisions and choices that I have made. Allah, despite of me being very negligent of my obligation towards Him, Allah has still providing for me. Despite that, I remember Allah seldom. I don't sometimes, may Allah forgive all of us. It comes, you know, days goes by, we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite this, Allah does not stop providing for us. So the more we know of Him, the more our emotional relationship with Him is going to be stronger. There was a great Muslim scholar by the name of Yahya ibn Mu'adh. And Yahya ibn Mu'adh, you know, there is this formula that says that, you know what? أَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَعْرَفُ النَّاسِ بِاللَّهِ. He said that those who are closest to Allah are those who are most knowledgeable about Allah. And those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most are those who know of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala most. So Yahya ibn Mu'adh, he said that, you know, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and this is a beautiful, beautiful statement, he said, مَتَى رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِ وَجَدُوهُ وَمَتَى شَاءُوا ذَكَرُوهُ. He said, in the relationship with Allah, anytime they feel like it, they can come back to Him and He will always be there. and anytime they wish, they can remember him. Meaning that he is so available and he is so approachable. With this, inshallah, we come to the conclusion of this part of our episode. Again, very grateful that you were able to tune in with us this week. And inshallah, we will also meet with you next week. And until then, we say so long and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.